Welcome to the No Lux Left Behind podcast, the world's first podcast dedicated solely to unboxing the allure of luxury handbags and the resale market.
We're Monica and Erica, luxury consignment entrepreneurs with over a decade of experience. Whether you're a shopper, a seller, or listening for the laughs, you'll always get unfiltered knowledge here. Let's get started. Okay, people, we are talking about consigner regret, but also consigner joy. But let's define consigner regret. Okay, let's just jump right in here.
Yeah, what does it feel like?
Yeah, what is it? So we didn't mean to say that together. We're just, you know, sisters.
We're in sync. We're also wearing the same shirt today, so
we didn't mean to. This is like just, it just happens.
It just
people think we do this on purpose and like that we're obnoxious about it, but like I swear we don't plan to do this on
purpose. We really don't.
Anyway, I digress. Okay, consigner regret, I think, is twofold. There's two different avenues of consigner regret. One is you regret selling the item or items that you chose to sell.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like the first avenue of consigner regret. The other layer of consigner regret is regretting the company or who you sold it with.
Ooh, ouch.
No, I'm just saying it's true because there's two layers. There's two layers of consigner regret. Maybe you are in the middle of consigning an item with a company and you're unhappy with the experience and you are regretting consigning that item with that said company and or person. And on top of it, that is going to create maybe consigner regret of selling the actual item. Like, dang, maybe
I didn't want to.
Yeah, maybe I didn't want to sell it.
Yes.
But
a little
maybe,
guilt.
A little guilt. But to be honest with you, and I don't want to toot my own horn, but toot toot, we have some really loyal consigners that love their experience with our company and our showrooms. And even they have reached out and said, oh my God, you know what? I sold that Dior 2 years ago.
And I totally regret it
because I love the bag. And every time I see it in any of your showrooms, I think, man, why did I sell it?
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah, you do know that feeling.
I do know that feeling.
Yes.
I do.
So that basically is like, the definition is twofold. It's I regret selling that item. I wish that I hadn't because I see it now everywhere and I love it.
Yep.
And I should have kept it in my collection. And then there's the, I regret selling my item with that particular company because the experience wasn't great. And I wish I would have sold it with X, Y, or Z.
I love this topic because I don't think we've ever talked about this.
Have we not?
I don't think we've ever touched on this.
We're three seasons deep into this podcast.
I know. And this is a new space for us. So I'm excited to like dive deep into this. So let's talk about like some examples of consigner regret.
Okay.
I will give you one.
Okay.
We actually just got a message yesterday of someone who said, I have this bag. It was actually, oh gosh, which one was it? It was, a Dior, Lady Dior red with gold hardware.
Ooh.
I think it was the small, or maybe it was a vintage. I'm not like totally clear on what it was, but she regretted selling it. She said, I sold it for so cheap. I didn't sell it. She didn't sell it with us. But she's like, I sold it for so cheap. I don't know what I was thinking. I loved it so much. Like that's an example of consigner regret is looking back on something and saying, oh, I wish I still had that.
Yeah. There's also, on the flip side of that, just to give an example of consigner joy, there's also moments where you look at bags and you're like, it's totally not functional, although it's beautiful. I'm so glad I sold mine.
I'm so glad I sold mine, and I'm so glad I got the money
so
back
glad
for
I got
it.
The money, and then
really,
I bought something functional.
Really, it comes down to the dollar bills. Those dollar bills feel so good.
Yeah, but I mean, so we're still on consigner regret, though. So that is a great example. We have had people that are thrifters and they are so talented, man, at their thrifting. Like thrifting is something very new to me that Erica, like
I've always thrifted.
A thrifting thing and I went with her and like it wasn't my thing. And now I'm like, oh my God.
I know. By contrast,
I love this.
By contrast, like I have thrifted probably my whole life, even before like my mom even was accepting of that. She's like, why are you shopping in thrift stores? I'm like, because the stuff is sick.
Yeah.
You know,
so
like
cool.
I would love it.
It's so cool. But we have some amazing clients that are thrifters and they thrift very strategically in some exceptional locations, mm-hmm. and they find authentic pieces that are wild, like yeah. vintage, beautiful Saint Laurent, things like that.
$100, yeah. $50. Yeah. Like, because sometimes, you know, at certain levels, mm-hmm. like, you just don't know, or in certain spaces, some people just don't know what these things cost, right? So if you're able to thrift them, that's a really good example of customer or consignor regret, yes. of people who have thrifted these pieces, they've gotten them for next to nothing, mm. and then they sell them and they're like, oh no,
I should have kept it.
I made a mistake. It wasn't worth the, you know, $500, $600, $1,000, $2,000 that I made on it. I should have just kept it.
Yeah, for the price that they paid. Exactly. Thrifting, they should have maybe kept it.
Exactly.
In their mind. If they really love the piece. Like,
because it could have been an heirloom. Like, there's so many reasons why people keep things.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So many reasons. There's like, it could have been an heirloom. Mm-hmm. Or I could have given it to my daughter. Or I could have worn it to my wedding. Yeah. Or I could have, like, I could have. Right. Or another big one is Chanel pricing has gone up.
Oh, yes.
A lot.
Yes,
and guys. I'm not talking, I know that sometimes in resale we talk a lot about what has happened in the last 2-3 years from Chanel going, you know, raising their prices, whatever, 100% or whatever it is.
Mm. Feels like it, doesn't it?
But when we talk about Chanel, let's really talk about the full lifeline of Chanel. We're talking about people who have had these vintage bags who maybe spent $1,000 on them in the 80s and 90s.
So wild.
And then sold them in, think about it, 2021.
Yes, when everyone, I mean, we couldn't.
Triple, quadruple, 5 times what they spent on them.
Yeah. And now.
And now they regret it. I should have kept it.
I should have kept it because now these things are retailing for over 10 grand.
Or sometimes it's not even about the money. Sometimes it's just, wow, I had this piece of Chanel history.
And I should have kept it.
Yeah. And sometimes, oh, that will, I mean, I know this is like first world problems. Totally.
Totally and completely.
Okay, but that's why, I mean, that's why we listen to this podcast and that's why we make this podcast. These are shallow problems. But
thanks.
They really are shallow problems. But, you know, sometimes we have emotional attachments to things. And like sometimes the emotional attachment is more significant than the financial or monetary attachment.
Yes. I mean, an example for me would be something that may not be of any value to someone else other than the fact that it's Chanel. I have a vintage Chanel bracelet that is of the 1998 World Cup, and it's a soccer ball with CCs on it. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, vintage Chanel. I will never get rid of that bracelet. It means so much to me. And if I were to one day, God forbid.
Wait, but why does it? Tell people why.
It does because in 1998, Erica and I spent the summer in France with our dad because he was covering the World Cup. He's a soccer commentator. And so it's just so cool. Soccer put food on our table. And so I just think that it's something sentimental to me. It's special to me. I thought it was the coolest thing that it was made in 1998 for specifically the World Cup.
Can I give you an example of one of my consignor regrets?
Yeah, but let me just finish my thought real quick because this is important. If tomorrow things hit the fan and I have to sell all of my stuff, the well-being of my family always comes first, right? Mm. So I'm selling it. I'm selling all of it. But I will live with regret every day of my life that I would have had to sell that bracelet.
Yeah.
Just because it's so meaningful.
And that's important. That's important to take into account. We'll talk about, like, how do you avoid the consignor regret? How do you embrace consignor joy? I want to share something that a consignor regret of mine.
Yes.
So when we started when we started season two, Monica and I looked at each other and we were like, we are going all in. Cover the kitty ears. We were going balls to the wall. Okay, we were investing everything we had into starting season two. We really, truly believed in what we were creating.
Yeah.
And so we went through our closets and sold everything that we could find.
That belonged to us.
And of all of the, listen, I had been in the business for over a decade before we started season two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So over the course of a decade, I really had collected some beautiful, beautiful things. But do you know the one thing that sticks out in my brain?
Tell him.
It's the little Burberry pochette.
I knew it.
You knew it?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm such a sucker. But it's a little Burberry pochette that my dad got Monica and I each. It actually makes me a little emotional.
Are you going to cry?
No, I'm not going to cry. No. On the Lord's internet? Girl. No. That Burberry pochette, it was like, and I could probably find it today, but it was the fact that it was our very first handbag that we ever got from our dad when he was like traveling in Europe. I think maybe we were 12 or 13 mm-hmm. years old, and he brought back these coated houndstooth check Burberry pochettes for each of us with patent leather trim, super classic. I would still wear it today. I would have given it to Sophie. And do I fully regret that I sold it in order to fund season 2 and invested that in our future? Almost 100%.
Real talk.
Almost 100%. Almost 100%. Because I loved it. I have an emotional attachment to it. I can probably, you know what? I'm going to look for it.
Maybe we could find
it. I'm going to look for it. Like, and I'm just going to pretend like I never sold it.
There you go.
Maybe that's what it is.
It's a boomerang. It will come back around.
Oh, I know that. I know that.
It will come back. Let's manifest it. Light some candles, you know? Let's like do it up.
You're listening to this pod, we assume you love pre-owned luxury.
Now you can lead the resale revolution.
Season2consign.com is powered by People, a community of dynamic business owners dedicated to a tech-driven approach to sustainable luxury and building a brand based off of a proven operational system.
Learn more about bringing a Season 2 showroom to your area by going to season2franchising.com.
That's season2franchising.com.
All right, so how do we avoid consigner regret? Because I think it's very easy. Listen, do you know how many consigners watch our lives, our live stream shopping, our blind unboxings on Instagram, mm-hmm. our live mm-hmm. shows on TikTok? Mm-hmm. So many of our consigners are watching us.
Mm-hmm. Not just us, by the way, like the whole ecosystem of season 2
consign. Oh, yes. All the cities that are represented at season 2.
Also, shout out to you. Thank you.
Yes. So they're watching all of these live shows and they're watching us pull everything out. Mm-hmm. And we do consider ourselves curators mm-hmm. at mm-hmm. season 2. And so we don't take anything that we don't believe we can sell.
Right.
That we don't really believe in.
Yeah.
So when things come out of the boxes and when things are like when we're sharing stuff, we are really saying like what we believe. We're saying this is beautiful. This is how you can wear it. This is an heirloom, whatever it is.
Thankfully, I haven't been on a live stream unboxing where I unbox something that I think is hideous, because if I did, imagine it would come out. I'd be like, ooh.
Oh, no, y'all will see it. We can't lie. Okay, no, we are real people.
It would
people.
Be right in the face.
You know, our mission is authentic luxury, authentic people, period.
Yes.
Point blank. So you see, like, we will not share something with you that we are like, oh, no, this is not cute. We're not doing this.
Yeah.
So anyway, my point is that as we do that, sometimes we do have consigners watching the lives, and then they will message us, and they'll say, oh, no, I think you've convinced me that I need it back.
Yeah. They'll be like, oh my God, Monica.
You guys got so excited about it.
Yes, you unboxed it so beautifully. And I'm like, oh man, I did that too hard.
I know. I went too hard on that unboxing. I'm sorry, Cheryl.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things, watching
the content maybe. But I think we all want to see, like, I think it's really cool that the consigners of season 2 like to see their products in content, and they like to see what we're going to do with it. I think mm-hmm. they get excited about it. Mm-hmm. But I think if there is even a little bit of hesitation when you're putting an item in a box, maybe try to avoid looking at that content.
Yeah.
If you know?
Yes.
But also, like, so start from the beginning, though. Like, if you're in your closet and you're doing a closet clean out, really think to yourself, unless there are extenuating circumstances that are causing you to have to sell your items. And in that case, like, we are more than happy to get those items sold for you. We have done that with clients mm-hmm. in the past.
Sadly,
we'll talk about that.
Unfortunately.
Because the thing is that also plays a part in consigner joy. So we'll touch on that. But mm-hmm. like, look at your things and, like, unless you feel 110% certain that you are ready to let something go, mm-hmm. don't put it in a box and don't bring it to that consignment store. Don't bring it to the thrift store. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
So, you know my question that I always tell people to ask themselves. We communicate a lot with mm-hmm. all of our cities. Mm-hmm. So we're currently open in 6 cities. We'll be open in 9 cities before the end of the summer. And all of our cities communicate wholeheartedly via email, text message, Instagram DMs. Like, we talk a lot with our consigners. And mm-hmm. something I always ask people if they're like, oh, should I sell this? I'm not sure. The number one question I think people should be asking themselves before they consign, before they even consider doing that, is how does this serve me? Mm. Not a yes or no question, not a, you know, like, oh, do I really need it? Yes or no. You need to ask yourself that critical question mm-hmm. of how does it serve me?
Yes.
Right? Picture it inside of your life. How does it serve you today, or how will it serve you in the future? And is it worth holding on to it? Critical thinking, I think, is important, especially when you're working with products that are very high end. I mean, we get $5,000-$7,000 handbags every day at season 2. And so when you're talking about these price points, I think it's very critical to ask yourself those important questions. Not a yes or no.
Yes.
But a question that you can really think through.
Yes. That is, I think, the most important point to make in the whole process. Like, really, it's really fun for me, if you're anything like me. I love to clean my stuff out. I love to reorganize. I love to feel like I'm, you know, maybe getting rid of some stuff. My husband likes to maybe think that I'm selling some things to, like, fund myself for the next thing.
Some of us have that experience, right? Yeah. Every consigner journey is different.
Yes.
There are some people who, you know, unfortunately are, maybe their family has fallen on hard times and they have these assets in their closet.
Yes.
And sometimes that's what those were for.
Yes.
Right?
And that was the purpose. You know what? Let's kind of transition here to, like, consigner joy.
Wait.
Uh-huh.
Because I want to ask just one more thing on consigner regret. How do you talk yourself off the ledge after the item is gone?
Oh, after
not
it's sold. And once it's sold, y'all, it's sold.
It's sold. It's, se fue. Okay.
It's gone.
She's been rehomed. Okay. She has been adopted, and you can't go back.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how do we talk yourself off the ledge? Here's the thing. We have had clients who have reached out to us, and they will ask us to keep an eye out for a very specific item, and it's the exact item that they sold years ago, maybe with someone else, and they regret it, and so they're now on the hunt for it.
Yeah.
And they're trying to find it again.
Yeah.
I would say, honestly, material things, they can boomerang.
Yes, I agree. So, like, I was going to say the same thing. You know, like, girl, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, I think there is an element of validity to having that initial regret.
Yeah.
And maybe saying, you know what, let me, like, go on the hunt for these or this or whatever it is. But if it's a material thing, unless it's something absolutely ridiculously limited, mm-hmm. but even still, in that case, if you're really looking for it, mm-hmm. you can find it.
Yeah.
It will come to you.
It will come back.
Put it out there and tap into all of your resources.
Manifest that ish.
Yes, but tap into your resources too. Reach out to multiple different companies and different people in resale and just put it out there.
There's also so many personal shoppers out there.
Yes.
Even just probably in your area, if you were to Google, like, personal shopper or Chicago or whatever.
For sure.
You would be able to find someone that could help you source something like that.
For sure. I mean, there is something to be said. I don't want to take away from maybe someone sold something or had to sell something that was, like, an heirloom that's generational and, like, 100%.
Those things happen.
Those things do happen, and you have every right to regret if you feel regret. But material things, you know, they're just material
things. I think going back to, yes, you're right, they're just material things. But, for example, with my Burberry pochette, like I just said, I almost have 100%.
almost 100%.
Almost 100%.
99.9%.
But that little 0.01%, when I need to talk myself off the ledge, I always tell myself, but look what it did.
But look what it did.
Look yes. what that unlocked. Like investing that, getting rid of that, mm-hmm. selling that. Look what that did for me. Maybe it was just a little tiny step in mm-hmm. the right direction. Mm-hmm. But look yeah. at what it did for
it was a drop in the
for
bucket,
me, for you, but a for big the brand, bucket. For our franchise owners. Like, look what it did.
I mean, think about it backwards. Would we have, you know, at the end of the summer, 9 locations open and operating of season 2 across the country had we not sold that Burberry Post?
Girl, I don't know.
Exactly. And you'll never know. And so we just, it's a drop in the bucket of like what became the bigger picture.
Yes, absolutely. You know? I agree. So you just have to talk yourself off the ledge. I think the best thing you can do is A, remember that they're just material items, mm-hmm. but then also B is remembering your why.
Remember
why
the why. Why did you sell it?
Part with it. Why did you sell it?
Yes.
And lean into that and know that if it's meant for you, it will come back to you.
Yes. Speaking of that, though, I think this is a good transition point of consignor joy, because there are obviously when you have a collection of items or you have, you know, a few pieces that you really love and something happens where you turn to the assets mm-hmm. that you know mm-hmm. you can sell that are of value, there is an element of joy that comes with that process.
Yes.
For example, we have a client who reached out. We noticed that they submitted, I mean, well over 15 handbags, I think, at one point.
Yeah.
And for estimates. And we were like, what's going on, you know? And we wanted to touch base and just make sure everything's okay. And come to find out, their
child
needed some medical attention, and they were turning to their assets to be able to help fund the medical attention that their child needed. How beautiful is that?
Mm-hmm.
And so you better believe, like, we love all of our consigners. Everyone is priority. But as soon as that box came into our showroom, that first in line. We were like, this is important. Authenticate. Put it in the system.
Yeah, get it sold.
Get it sold. Thankfully, within like 24 to 48 hours, I think 95% of her things had sold. We were able to get a payout. And like, you know, when you're working with smaller businesses, there's an element of personalization.
Mm-hmm.
When you're working with people
that
you don't get with, you know, maybe big box companies. And if that's something that's important to you, you know, that's just an example of how working with real human beings on a real genuine level, it makes a big impact. But like, it brought this person so much joy.
Girl, it brought me joy.
It brought all of us
all
joy.
Of us
Everyone
were like,
in the process.
Sold.
As soon as we heard a ding ding and it was one of that person's items, we were all like, yes.
Yes. Everyone in the office was like on her team. There's something to be said for sharing your, and this is going a little bit off topic, but just sharing your experience with people
mm-hmm.
and saying like, hey, this is what's on my heart. This is what I'm really going through.
Yeah.
And then having people in your corner
that
want to help you.
For sure.
And I think that can often only be had when you're working with small businesses.
Yes.
Because you have an owner who's invested in your story and in your future. And
yes.
Again, I know we're just talking about handbags. We're not saving lives here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, it is important to have people in your corner.
Yeah. And it's just also really cool.
And sometimes, in this case, it is sometimes a matter of life and death. I mean, those instances are rare. For the most part, we're talking about people who want to sell their bags to get new ones.
Yeah.
But I think that we're blessed for having had those experiences with our consigners.
Yeah. And again, it brings an element of joy. There's also just the most basic level of consigner joy is when you submit an item, you get an estimate, you ship it out or you drop it off and it sells and you're like, I see money in my dashboard. I'm going to get paid out. Like, cool. Maybe you have a plan to buy something else.
Yes.
And you're going to put that money towards buying something else. And that brings you joy.
The up level. Let's talk about that for a second. Okay, we are up-leveling our bags these days.
Up-leveling.
Hear me out. This is something that is, on a little bit of a lighter note, something that I am seeing people are doing, again, because we have so many conversations in the background with our clients, is people are selling handbags in order to downsize their collection but up-level mm-hmm. the collection. So mm-hmm. here's what's happening. People are selling, you know, two or three or four bags mm-hmm. that they don't use that often mm-hmm. collectively, selling all those and putting the funds in another account or in a separate area, allocating that to up level to something more high end. Mm. So you're seeing people saying, you know what, I'm saving for my Birkin. It's what I really want. Or I got a promotion. Yep. I'm getting a promotion in the next 6 months, or I'm working towards a promotion and I want to get this new piece. Yep. And so I want to up level and I want that to be part of the process for yeah. me. And it's a signal to me and that feels good to me, right? So that is for me, like, that's very joyous as well mm-hmm. is to walk that journey with our consigners, selling their pieces for them. And then yeah. I love when they share their new acquisitions with us.
Yes.
Right? Like, thank you so much for selling these four bags for me. I was able to buy this Birkin off your site, or I was able to buy this, you know, it doesn't, you know, we talk about the higher up leveled bags as Birkins, but it doesn't have to be a Birkin. No. It can be a beautiful, like, Chanel classic. It can be, you know, a great Louis Vuitton mm-hmm. tote. Sometimes people are selling, you know, four or five pairs of shoes to get their very first handbag,
yes.
right? It doesn't always have to be this, you know, $10,000, $15,000
like the crazy handbag. Level handbag,
You know, I hate that in luxury resale, that's, I feel like that's all we talk about. It's like, oh, the Birkin. And I feel like, I mean, I'm definitely guilty of that, of talking just about that. But we do need to look at consignor joy in different places and in different products. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that consignor joy is in the Louis Vuitton Neverfull, which to me is such a classic.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really special.
There is something to be said, too, about the genuine joy that we have had clients express to us about their bag having been rehomed. Saying, like, I hope that the next person loves it.
You know, those are the empaths.
That they have.
Those are the empathic consigners, like, who are like, I prayed over it.
Yeah,
before
like I
the
gave
box
it great it, energy, I, yes. or it's coming from a great home, and I hope that it brings the next person joy. Like, how
I
cool
loved
is that?
It so much, and I hope it. I know. Like, that
how
also,
cool.
That, like, just letting go of things that no longer serve you, but you know will serve someone else.
Will serve someone else.
I think is such positive, like, if you believe in karma, good karma, good energy, putting it out into the world.
For sure. Guys, if you're not already following us, we are at season2 consign on all platforms, including TikTok and Instagram. We drop knowledge and have fun on all of them.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, please consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. We have so much more to share with you. Thank you for being here, and don't forget to be fearlessly authentic.